Welcoming back to the show, Jen Jolly, who is a tech reporter and founder of techish.com. Jen, I'm feeling a little techish tonight, to be honest.
Oh, well, you've come to the right place, my friend. Yeah, the sun is out, but we are already worried about getting gadgets for back to school. I mean, it feels like summer just started where I live, and already we're worried about getting those, lists out, making sure we have all the school supplies. I don't know where the time's going.
I tell you, my kids are long gone from school, and I'm sort of glad about it, because if I had to keep up with every advancement on every technological level, year to year to year, it would drive me nuts.
Yeah.
I can't even do it as an adult, let alone figure out what I get for my kids,
Well, I was writing about this today, and, remember back to school shopping meant we got to pick what we wanted out of the Sears catalog or the JCPenney catalog. Yeah. And a box of crayons with the automatic sharpener in it was so special. And about junior high school, scented erasers became a thing. Like, I just remember that was, the oh wow gadgets of my day. And now you've got laptops, apps, online accounts, family calendars, and enough passwords to qualify as a part-time job. So, the world is very different.
When I went to school, I didn't have any gigabytes or any RAM. I was completely gigabyte and RAM free. Now, what do you see for, that's certainly not the way it is now. Parents be looking out for now as people get ready for school?
Well, John, I just did about 30 hours of figuring out how to use ChatGPT to really find the best deals. I did all of this so that you don't have to. And ChatGPT can earn a spot on the school supply list, hands down, this year. Why ChatGPT specifically? It's the one AI assistant that let me tackle the entire back-to-school pileup, from shopping and family schedules to homework and school paperwork, all in one place. So the other models work just fine for bits and pieces of this, but ChatGPT bundles all of that: photo uploads, voice conversations, shopping research, temporary chats. So I ran this test, and I walk you through this on techish.com, exactly how to do this yourself, how to set it up safely. But the first thing you're going to do is upload your back to school shopping list into ChatGPT. I have a little prompt for you there, and you let it find the very best prices. That alone saved me about $1,000. And this is a really big year for, like, a lot of kids need laptops, high schoolers, college age, but laptop prices are skyrocketing because of an AI chip shortage. So it helped me, ChatGPT helped me find two really good value for what you get laptops.
ChatGPT, I use it for some things, but I didn't realize it had such a wide range of information as to being able to tell you what to shop for. And say, if I took a grocery list, because I'm not going back to school, if I took a grocery list and put it in there, would it do the same thing?
Absolutely. And you can say things like, what's the lowest total across these three stores in my zip code?
Man, no kidding.
No kidding. It's kind of genius. And it has a shopping search tool. Yeah. A lot of people are like, AI, it's so scary. There are elements of it that are really weird, because, people are taking it and running with it, and it's taking and running with itself. But it's another tech tool that, if you wrap your head around it, or even if you don't, if you just know how to use it right out of the gate, it really can help you with a lot of things. You don't defer your common sense. You don't defer your parenting. You don't defer your family skills, your communication skills. You just use it to pick up a little of the slack. It's sort of like Google search on speed. ChatGPT has this new voice mode that is exactly what Siri always should have been. Like, if Siri worked how you think it should have worked early on, that's what this ChatGPT voice mode is now. I kind of can't believe how much I wanted to hate it. I really did, because I've been doing this about 30 years, and And I, you know, I'm a curmudgeonly old tech journalist.
Oh, yeah.
But I really love it.
What about some lower, you know, I've seen some laptops come on the market that, comparatively speaking to laptop history, have, I guess you would say, low prices. That even includes Apple. Are they, you know, the real thing? Are they, can they compete with the ones that are, you know, three times, four times their cost?
No, absolutely. You know, the new MacBook Neo is a fabulous laptop. What you're going to scrimp on in a lot of those lower priced devices are the storage, the slow storage, the dim screens, you know, only having 4 gigabytes of RAM. So I found two that are really good value under that $1,000 price. One of them is the Lenovo IdeaPad Slim 3i. That's running about $850. So it's coming in at that Neo price.
Yeah.
It's got 16 gigabytes of memory, 512 gigabytes of storage. Like, that's plenty for most people out there. Intel's new Core Series 3 processor, it passed through military strength durability tests, the rough and tumble military grade testing. So that's a really good one to earmark. And I write all about these. I've reviewed them. The other one is an Asus ZenBook A16. This is a higher end model. It's running around between $1,500 and $1,600, but it's doing triple the duty that a $2,500 laptop is running. So those are the kinds of things: 48 gigs of memory, 1 terabyte of storage, and a laptop that weighs less than 3 pounds. You know, that's less than a water bottle that a lot of these kids are carrying around. So those are the kinds of things this year you'll want to look for value over name brand. And a $300 laptop is a trap this year.
Yeah.
Do not buy. That's the trap. That's the price where all the corner cutting hides inside of. A $300 Windows laptop in 2026 is going to be slow the day you open the box. Might not even make it through the holiday season. It's not going to make it to next semester.
It's Jen Jolly, who's the tech reporter and founder of techish.com. Good stuff, huh? We'll do more when we come back. 720 WGN, John Landecker, 20 minutes after 7 o'clock with Jen Jolly, a tech reporter and founder of techish.com. The more I see what you're doing, the more I read what you're doing, the more I feel like I'm way back here as far as this stuff's concerned. Okay, Meta. In fact, I heard a couple of friends of mine talking about this just today. They have something called Muse. Is that correct? M-U-S-E?
Yes. Muse AI. Meta launched Muse AI a few weeks ago, July 11th. They launched it earlier that week. And by July 11th, they had killed the feature that I and every other tech reporter in the whole entire world could not believe they launched with. They launched this new Muse AI with a feature that was turned on by default, that you could go into any public person's Instagram and create AI images of you with that person. So, of course, I went in and put myself with Erling Haaland, the big star of the World Cup. I put myself with Oprah and said, this is really wrong. This should not be turned on by default. And then I walk you through on techish.com exactly how to turn that off. Now, Meta went in after all that backlash, and I think it was me with Erling Haaland that actually got that change because it was so creepy simple to do.
Man, yeah.
But you can turn that off. I walk you through exactly how to turn that off. You in your Instagram, you know, you tap your profile picture. And if you already have a restricted profile, like mine's public, but if you don't have it set to public, then you don't have to worry about this as much. But you do need to revisit really all of your settings and make sure that you're not sharing anything accidentally these days.
Which would be very easy to do, considering all of the aspects of information and social networks that are available. You mentioned Instagram, you know, there's still, what else is around? X and There's a ton of them.
TikTok, Snapchat.
Yes, YouTube. Exactly. YouTube. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
I mean, how can you? So this Muse, M-U-S-E, are they taking the name from, you know, the ancient meaning of that person is my muse, or are they just using it?
I don't know. I haven't really looked into the background.
Yeah,
I think here's how I think they're using it is like everyone in the world is a muse when it comes to AI for someone else. Hmm. So they're saying like kind of Facebook and it used to be Facebook. Now it's Meta. So Meta owns Facebook, Instagram, WhatsApp, and Threads. So they have four of these social media properties themselves. I think they're saying like, use the inspiration from everybody else to create something new in the world. When it's your face and someone can put themselves with you in a photo and it looks so real, it's like causing divorces. And like, that is just wrong on every count. And I say this in my article, you know, it was so tone deaf for them to launch with this. Nobody wants it. And for the people at the higher ups to think that that was fun and cool and popular was just terrible, terrible timing, terrible common sense, lack of common sense.
You know, you touched on something that I've been thinking about for quite a while. And every time I go on any of these social media sites, or any time I go anywhere, quite frankly, where there's a photo, I look at it and I say to myself, is that real? I mean, I can't trust, literally, I can't trust anything because there's so much of this going on.
Remember when you could trust something that you had seen with your own two eyes? You can't anymore.
No.
Videos, especially if you're on Facebook and you see an ad for something, this is not the actual fact-checked reported number, but it feels like 9 out of 10 times that's a fake ad for a fake product using celebrities that never endorse something. I mean, I have not seen this problem as bad as I've seen it on Facebook, but it's everywhere. You cannot trust things. You have to source them. You have to go to a trusted source. You have to go to WGN.com. You know, there are ways to figure this out, but it's not just, oh, well, hey, I saw it on YouTube. I saw it on Facebook. It must be true.
Yeah. I mean, I've come close to falling for that. And then just before I clicked on something, I said, this is impossible. This just can't exist in the real world. And I went, you know, to something like Google and researched whatever they said they were. And for sure, they were a hype or they were something. They were misrepresenting what they put on the on social media. This AI, I mean, it's huge, obviously. Is it really helpful as an assistant to us, or are we just being lazy? Because when you told me I could put my grocery list on there, I'm like, oh, this is good.
It's absolutely awesome for things like open up your refrigerator, take a shot of what's in it and say, what can I make for dinner tonight? Or, I mean, that's a genius use of it. My friend just told me this morning, she's been using ChatGPT to buy watermelon this summer, which I've bought 3 horrible watermelons in a row this summer. I've tried the tapping on it, listening to it, picking it up, shaking it. I've tried all those old tricks. You can take a picture, upload it to ChatGPT, and it will point out in that picture which of those watermelon, based on what they look like on the outside, is your most likely going to be your good one. She said it's worked 10 out of 10 times for her. I planted a flower garden last fall, and it's blooming this summer based on what ChatGPT told me to do. And now I'm keeping on top of my landscaping and gardening. I don't know like what I'm supposed to do to cut these flowers back and stuff. It's telling me and walking me through it. That's the way to use it. Finding your child's first best gadget to teach them how to grow up and learn and be a responsible, normal, safe, healthy human being living alongside gadgets and growing up alongside gadgets. That's a great way to use it. Figuring out a better way to like organize your family. There's things like that. But none of this you know, you still need to use your brain. You still need to log out of all technology. None of it takes over common sense and being a good parent, listening to your kids. None of it's good for that. But John, there are so many interesting ways to use it. I wish I was right there and could just show you some of these.
Well, you could show me some. You could show me which settings I should use on my iPhone, because that alone drives me crazy.
Those are some of my, you know, I'm on the Today Show, and those are some of the most popular segments that I do.
I'll bet.
On the Today Show. Thousands and thousands of people reach out to me. And one of, you know, I have been trying iOS 27. It's in beta. It doesn't launch officially until the fall. You know, new phones will come out in September.
Right.
But I was there at Apple's last, you know, big announcement of everything that it's working on the back end. And I've been trying. The new Siri is really good. The problem with it in beta is it doesn't always turn off when you want it to. But the other day I was flying and I just said, "Hey Siri," it might come on here and talk to me. "Hey Siri, find my my flight number and find my confirmation code." And it dug through my text messages and found that for me and gave it to me in real time. Like little things like that's how this should have worked this whole time. So that's the way AI can be really helpful.
Jen Jolly is the tech reporter and founder of techish.com, and it's always amazingly informative when you come on, Jen. Thanks so much for being with us, and I look to talk to you again in the future. Thanks.
Thank you.